Hi everyone, I'm Elizabeth Stein, founder and CEO of Purely Elizabeth, and this is Live Purely with Elizabeth, featuring candid conversations about how to thrive on your wellness journey. This week's guest is Carol Hahn Pyle, founder and CEO of Net, a clean luxury candle and fine fragrance brand, a former beauty and fashion editor, and the founder of a successful social media agency building brands for luxury clients. Carol utilized her depth and breadth of experience to create the Net brand with a focus on fragrance as a means to feel good. Her products are available at retailers including Neiman Marcus, Revolve, Blue Mercury, and the Detox Market. In this episode, Carol shares how she launched Net during the pandemic and how her candles quickly got picked up by Sephora. She talks about the creative process of developing a new fragrance and the science behind scent and mood, the future of the clean fragrance space, and what we all need to know about the products we're using in our homes, taking the leap to take a chance on a new career path, and the importance of work-life balance. I'm absolutely obsessed with her scents, and I know you will be too. Keep listening to learn more. I have some super exciting news, Purely fans. I am so thrilled to announce that our newest product line of cookie granola is finally here. We've created a one-of-a-kind recipe where a delicious cookie meets our wholesome granola. It's made with organic gluten-free oats and coconut flour, 100% whole grains, baked with coconut oil and almond butter, and only 6 grams of sugar. These snackable granola clusters have all of the flavor and crispness of your favorite cookie recipe, but in an indulgence you can feel good about. It comes in 3 flavors to obsess over: chocolate chip, double chocolate, and my personal favorite, oatmeal raisin. Find our cookie granolas at Walmart, Whole Foods, Publix, and on our website at purelyelizabeth.com. To find a store near you, use the link below in the show notes. I hope you're as obsessed with this new product as I am. Enjoy. Carol, welcome to the podcast. It's such a pleasure to meet you and so excited to connect and hear your story today.
Thank you so much. I'm super excited to be here.
So let's start with the beginning of your journey. And really, what was the inspiration for Net?
Well, my mom was a candle maker when I was growing up. So my inspiration started very, very early. She owned this candle store from before I was born. And I spent a lot of time in there with her. It was in Sausalito, in California, right on the water. And it was just so rife for idyllic childhood memories. It was like a very comforting store filled with these beautiful candles, filled with amazing smells. And she would spend all day in there hand dipping in colorful wax pillars and hand carving so that the colors would come through. It was a very, I feel like it was like very emblematic of the 80s, this particular type of pillar candle, but she loved it. And I spent so much time in there. And I just remember having such great memories and being so, and feeling good and feeling so safe there. My parents got divorced when I was 9. And subsequently, my mom sold the store and she and I moved to Hawaii. My dad stayed in San Francisco, and eventually I'd become estranged from my dad. So I feel like my life took a really drastic turn around a corner where it was like before when everything was like really simple and joyful. And then after the divorce, things got really complicated. I had a single mom for a mother and she was very strong, but she worked all the time. So it was difficult for us not to see each other as much. I was a latchkey kid from when I was 9 years old. So things got really complicated. And I feel like I held on to this time in my childhood when things were just much simpler. And I related all of those good feelings so much back to that candle store that I spent so much time in. And I promised myself that I would really do something in fragrance someday because fragrance was such a special thing to me. So that was really like the very beginning of my journey. But then, you know, of course, I went to college. I ended up interning at W Magazine, Harper's Bazaar, Interview Magazine. I really wanted to become a fashion editor or a beauty editor. And that's what I did. I eventually got a job at Lucky Magazine in their fashion department.
Oh, good Lucky.
Good old Lucky. Yeah. Yes. R.I.P. And then I went to Elle Magazine and I was in their fashion department. Eventually went to Elle.com, became their fashion and beauty market editor for several years. started a social media agency. So my career really took its own path. And it wasn't until December of 2020 that I was able to really launch Net. And that was, you know, my, you know, sort of lifelong desire to work in fragrance and do something in fragrance really came to fruition because the pandemic hit in March of 2020. And for the first time in my entire life, I had free time. And I was able to devote so much time to really developing this brand, developing the vision, focusing on making it into something that was real.
I love that. I mean, there's so few people in stories that I hear who also have that such a deep connection to their childhood, what their parents were doing that evolved into what they're doing today. So that's such a special story that you have that memory. Was there a certain scent that you remember that you've now incorporated into the products today?
Yeah, you know, I think that our candle called Pearl Dust is probably most emblematic of what I remember that store smelling like. It is just like a really comforting, clean, gorgeous smell. It smells like the most like sophisticated stack of clean white sheets, if you can imagine what that is.
Yeah, love that. So I'm curious to hear, before launching in December, what, as you had so many experiences in the fashion industry, mm-hmm. kind of what were some of those key lessons that really helped you to step out? And yes, you had time. And so that was playing a piece, but it's not easy to step out of your comfort zone and go for it. So what really helped you to do that?
Some of the key lessons that I've learned throughout my career, I would say I learned a lot of them during my first experiences at Elle Magazine. I was there during the hardcore Devil Wears Prada era, and it was hard. Like, you know, the fashion gals in the fashion closet were working 15, 16 hours a day, and that, you know, going to events at night. And we loved it. And it was my first experience of truly being like, this is my passion. I want to succeed here so badly. And I love what I'm doing. And it's my entire identity, essentially. And I, you know, really took a lot of hard lessons from there because it gave me resilience. It taught me how to be really particular, really, really detail oriented, how to work, you know, how to work super hard and work hard for something that you really want and have this big ambition and big vision.
As you now have employees, how do you think that affects how you manage your employees today? Because certainly there was like amazing things in that era and then certainly some not really amazing things.
But totally.
I do think there's certainly those takeaways that it gave you the discipline, the desires yes. to really succeed where I don't know, some of that might be missing a little bit today. So how do you weave that into being a leader?
Yeah, I think that times have really evolved since then. Some of the stuff that we went through during those days would never be acceptable now, and for good reason.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not someone who would ever expect someone to work those sorts of hours and like, you know, and thrive as an individual and bring their best selves to the table. Very much for work-life balance and giving people the room and the space that they need to perform in the best way that they can, and having, you know, empathy as a leader and really making sure that people feel comfortable coming to me with any issues or thoughts if they just want to chat. I think that's something that's really important to me. I just don't want to cultivate an environment where anyone is ever scared of leadership.
Yeah.
Because that's certainly the case in a lot of the jobs that I've had.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit more about the process for launching the brand. So you have this idea that's been percolating for a while. And then what were those initial first steps?
My very first step was to research branding agencies. I really couldn't start working on it until I had a vision of what the brand would look and feel like. So I knew that I needed to find a great branding partner. So did a ton of research and found this amazing, at the time, they were like really like young and artful and scrappy working out of London. They're called Regular Practice. Now they're much more major. They've grown a lot in the past few years, which I'm so happy for them. But they were really a great partner in cultivating the vision of what the brand would look like.
And they did such an incredible job because your aesthetic is so beautiful and clean, sophisticated. So I think they definitely nailed the branding side of it.
Yeah. And a lot of that inspiration actually came from the name. So net is a French word that means elegant, clean, impeccable. And we really use those adjectives as guideposts in terms of what the brand would look like. I really wanted the brand to feel very timeless and to act as this sort of container from which the fragrance could really be the thing that shined.
So did you have that name going into it branding? Did, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love that. So as you got the branding together, then what was the process for creating the fragrances and what was your first product?
Oh my goodness. It really differs fragrance by fragrance, product by product, and inspiration can really start with the tiniest little seed. So one example is that for our new perfume that's launching in March, it's I can't really say that much about it, but there was this one scene from that 90s movie Ghost, if you remember that movie.
Of course. It's
like amazing, that came to my mind very suddenly and clearly during a walk I was taking one morning. It was that one scene where, you know, Demi Moore has lost her husband, Patrick Swayze, and, you know, their best friend comes over with this paper bag full of Japanese pears. And he says, I brought you these Japanese pears that you really like. And, you know, they're in her amazing loft somewhere in Soho or Tribeca in New York City with these crazy high ceilings. And it's kind of moody. And I was like, what would this woman, like, what did she smell like? And it was just, you know, it was very atmospheric scene. And then I was like, I want to do a perfume focused on a really elegant Japanese pear.
Oh, I love that. That's so cool. So then, you know, coming from food side, I know nothing about how fragrances are made and built. So tell us about, like, okay, so you have this idea for this mm-hmm. scent mm-hmm. and then
yeah.
what is the science? How does that all work?
Yeah. So after the idea comes to fruition, I go to my fragrance house and we have a very big meeting where the mood and the inspiration and what I envision this fragrance to smell like is all discussed. There's a visual mood board. There are words that, you know, kind of like a word cloud that is presented. And I do everything in my power as not a professional perfumer to really evoke what I envision this fragrance can be. And then the perfumers who are, you know, some of the greatest artists of all time, take that vision and they interpret it through their artistic lens and come up with several mods of what they think we're looking for and how they interpret the inspiration based on their experience and their personal lives. So it's such a fun process. So, you know, we smell everything, we have several meetings, and then there are constantly revisions and refinements. And, you know, there's a whole board of people that are testing everything. And eventually, you know, a year or two later, we come up with a final juice.
That's so cool. It's such a different experience, I would say, than something that's so much more like tactical of you want it to have X, Y, and Z ingredient and taste, you know, a certain way. So for you, you know, you are certainly using clean fragrance. And that's a really important part of what you're doing and what you're doing differently. And so I think there's a lot of people who, you know, we've all heard that we should be eating cleaner food and cleaner yeah. house products. But fragrance is one that I think is definitely underrated. And I think newer for people to understand. So I'd love if you could help educate our community about fragrance from that perspective and what we should be looking for, not looking for. Tell us all about it.
So one of the first things I knew I wanted to remove from anything we made was paraffin wax. So it's just one example of, it's really ingredient driven, right? And it's very much like we don't want to work with certain ingredients. Paraffin wax is a great example. It's made from petroleum, the fossil fuel that is bad for the environment and bad for you, especially when burned in a closed environment. And you'd be surprised at the number of luxury brands that still use paraffin wax. It's really mind-blowing. Also, a good thing to do is to check out which brands are like certified Sephora Clean, Credo Clean. You know, those are really high standards in the industry, and it's incredibly difficult to get through and get that certification. It took us like a month of daily work to make sure that we all of our ducks in a row. They do not hand those things out easily at all. So I think that it's, you know, I think that that's a really good parameter. If you're looking for clean brands, I would go, you know, those two retailers in beauty really have it nailed.
I'm so excited to announce that we have launched two new superfood cereal flavors, chocolate almond and cinnamon raisin almond. Our cereal is intentionally crafted with whole food ingredients you can see and taste, like sorghum, oats, chia, and quinoa. Each spoonful of our superfood cereal combines crunchy ancient grain flakes with delicious granola clusters for irresistible taste and texture. Plus, they are an excellent source of vitamin D, a good source of fiber, and have over 30 grams of whole grains per serving. You can find these new flavors, along with our existing flavors, honey peanut butter and vanilla blueberry almond, at your local Whole Foods, and as always, on purelyelizabeth.com.
So in terms of Sephora, as you mentioned, you guys are now in Sephora, which is so exciting. Tell us a little bit about that process. I'm sure there's people listening who might have an idea. Of course, Sephora is the dream to get into. So what was that process like for you getting into Sephora, and how's that been going?
It's going great. I love the Sephora team. They are truly the dream partner, dream retailer. I can't imagine any other, you know, partner that that is quite like them. They're very special in the way that they operate. Their team is not only retail experts and buyers and merchants. They're obviously very good at that. That's their core competency. But I really feel like they're also excellent brand builders, and they really get into the kitchen with you and your brand to make sure that your brand direction is going in a good direction, and that you are hitting the pillars, that you are creating product that is going to be appealing to their consumer. And they really get in the kitchen with you, and it's incredible. There's no other retailer, I don't think, that does that in the same intensity that they do. So we launched the brand, and we got quite a bit of initial buzz from influencers and some press. So we were getting approached by a ton of retailers, actually, like right out of the gate. I mean, I was like on Zoom calls with like Harrods.
Wow.
Secretly Googling what is a purchase order, because I had no idea. I had no idea what these retail terms were. I'd never done this before. And, you know, I was talking to major retailers like Harrods and Selfridges and Nordstrom, and Sephora was one of those retailers. They reached out very quickly after the brand launched, and we got in the kitchen with them and decided that we would do a fine fragrance collection launch, a perfume launch, and make it exclusive to Sephora for a period of 3 years. Wow. And lucky us, we really were given the opportunity to work super closely with the Sephora team to make sure that the development of that category was really in line and optimized for success. So that was great. I'm very proud of our Sephora partnership. We're 100% bootstrapped, which is no easy feat in terms of existing at Sephora and launching at Sephora. So I'm really proud of that.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about bootstrapping. How's that been?
You know, it was like, it's been interesting. I have had a lot of conversations with various venture capital partners and have not really found the exact right fit. I think that we're very open to raising money, and it's probably something that we're going to do this year, actually, because I think that playing in the Sephora ballpark takes a certain level of capital. So my main life goal is to succeed at Sephora. And so I think that raising money is going to be really key to that. Before this, though, you know, bootstrapping was a lot more feasible, because if you're only focusing on mostly on DTC and smaller retail partners, then it's a lot easier. But I would say for anyone looking to launch in like an Ulta or Sephora, or looking for like a major global expansion, raising money is probably a good idea.
But it's great to know that you've gotten as far as you have and into Sephora without having to raise money.
Yeah, it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's possible. So for somebody who is interested in getting into Sephora, whether it be for beauty, fragrance, et cetera, and might not have Sephora calling them already, What are some tips for approaching a retailer like that?
You know, I would say that one tip for anyone who wants to launch at a Sephora would probably be to just make sure that you're ready, because the more ready you are, the easier the conversations and the reach outs will be with that team. And I would say, don't rush into it. It's probably a good idea to build a certain level of brand awareness and recognition before you launch into a retailer like that, because that will really only help you once you're in those doors. Because launching at Sephora is one thing, succeeding at Sephora is an entirely different ballgame. And you just want to make sure that you set yourself up for success. Otherwise, it can get very stressful.
Yeah. And I think that's great advice, whether it's beauty, food, any product.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to get on that shelf, but it's critical to figure out how you can get it turning off the shelf for success and to be able to stay there.
Exactly.
What's been your approach then to building the brand? And you mentioned certainly in the beginning that you got some great influencers and social media right away. Has that really been the tactic for you guys?
Yeah, influencer press, you know, building our community has been really great. You know, I think that we're very focused on brand awareness. You know, we've only been around for 3 years, which is a very short amount of time. We're probably one of the youngest brands at Sephora. And it takes time to really build a level of awareness it takes to scale. So that's really what we're hyper-focused on right now. And, you know, most of our strategy revolves around building that organic buzz amongst influencers and editors and, you know, with a recent focus on TikTok, which is such a, you know, fun landscape.
Yeah, it totally is. And also, I've noticed that you've done some fun partnerships, which
I forget. Yeah, Tata Harper was amazing. That was our first brand partnership. I love that team so much with all my heart. They are just the best, most passionate team to work with. Barbie was also great. I had a really great partner in-house at Mattel, who I think was the creative director behind Barbie Style and heavily involved in the whole circus that became the Barbie movie, and just such a creative mind. And we really developed that fragrance together. It was so fun to work with him. So those two collaborations did wonders for our brand awareness, and they were so in line with our brand. So really the dream.
So for the Barbie scent, I'm curious what you went into that meeting saying, I want it to smell like what, or the mood was what?
Yeah, unexpected. So I didn't want to go in and make a Barbie candle that smelled like girly fruit, pink. Yeah. I don't know. I wanted to do something a little bit unexpected, and he was definitely in line with that. So that was really fun.
What would you say that you are most proud of since launching? And then conversely, what's been some of the biggest challenges since launching?
Oh, so I think I'm honestly most proud of launching at Sephora, especially in a bootstrapped capacity. I think that that was probably my biggest accomplishment in life, is really, you know, getting into those doors with such a young brand and completely bootstrapped and, you know, really doing it on my own. So I will forever be proud of that, no matter how much money
we should. Yeah.
Sure.
Some of the biggest challenges that you face so far?
Probably running the business on a very limited team. So I am really the only full-time employee at Net right now. I have amazing support. I have, you know, a fractional operations lead. I have amazing marketing teams. I have a great PR agency, great finance team that is outsourced. But I think that definitely hiring a small team to be full-time at Net is our next step.
Well, that's super exciting. Definitely a big area of growth, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So diving into you a little bit more personally, would love to hear something that you're working on, a goal that you're working on personally or professionally.
No, I had a baby in January of 2023. And before that, I was obviously pregnant for almost a year. And then before that, I was going through IVF for a year. So I feel like that whole process really threw me off personally in a lot of ways because my entire world was really focused on that. And physically, it really depleted me. So I think that I'm finally a year postpartum starting to feel like myself again and starting to feel like I'm back to life almost. So I think a goal for me personally is to refocus on myself and refocus on building my physical strength and getting back into this really precious to me routine that I had before all of that, which is, you know, wake up early, journal, meditate, work out. I used to go to Tracy Anderson every day, and I just recently started getting back into that. So really just rebuilding personally is a goal of mine for this year.
That's
professionally,
amazing.
I would say to be more measured in my decision-making. I am very much a quick decision maker, which I think helps in entrepreneurship. But that also means on the other side of the token, sometimes my decisions are really fast and loose. So I think just being more measured, especially as we grow and there's a lot more at stake.
For sure. So having a one-year-old is certainly a lot to be juggling with a business that is also an infant as well. How do you manage? I never like to say balance, but how do you manage juggling all of that in your life?
It's tough. I think that juggling being a mother with being an entrepreneur or being any working mother really is hard. It comes with a lot of challenges. It comes with a lot of mom guilt. It comes with a lot of sacrifice when it comes to your own personal needs. I am juggling it. Maybe I am juggling it by making sure, like, you know, more recently, I think that I've started going to work out every single morning again before the day starts. And that has really helped ground my days and has made me feel better. And to be honest, we have amazing help. Ozzy has an amazing nanny and we couldn't live without her. So, you know, and that comes from a very privileged place. I recognize that. So, you know, I don't know how we would do it without, you know, I would do it without a very supportive husband that pitches in, a very supportive nanny, and a great team around me.
Yeah. You need those areas in your life that you can really call on to support you. And it's so much to be doing this, especially on your own.
You know,
that it's a lot to look forward to get more support, it sounds like, in this coming year.
Yes, I'm excited for it.
So as we talked about at the very beginning, you know, you certainly stepped out of your comfort zone to launch this business, never had being an entrepreneur or starting your own candle fragrance company. Are you someone that you think has innately always been more risk, or is that something that you kind of learned along the way?
For whatever reason, I think that I am fairly naturally comfortable with risk. I don't know why. It's just how I've always been. It kind of drives my husband crazy. You know, I was one of the only kids in high school in Hawaii who chose to go all the way to the East Coast for school. I quit my job at the print edition of Elle to go to Elle.com before .com was a real thing. Everyone thought I was crazy. And then I quit my very stable, well-paying editorial job to launch a social media agency back in 2010, which is the same year that Instagram launched, aka very early social media before, you know, people realized it was going to be a thing that brands would really need in a major way. So, you know, my career and my path has really been peppered with these sort of like major pivots and moves and decisions. And that goes back to like sort of fast and loose decision-making. I feel an instinct and I tend to just be like, okay, I'm doing this. You know, I launched my social media agency with my business partner back then. I don't even think that we had a business plan. It was just purely based on instinct. Like, I think social media is going to be a thing that brands really need. And it just went from there.
Wow, that's incredible. So what do you think is next on that front? Are you seeing?
I wish I knew. I don't know.
But you're into TikTok.
I'm into TikTok. Yes, TikTok's my next frontier at Net.
And are you still involved with a social media agency?
I am. That's actually a client of the social media agency. It's called Community Atelier. So the two businesses work really well hand in hand together.
Amazing. And what sorts of brands do you work with there?
A lot of different brands, beauty brands. We work with a lot of luxury hospitality brands like the Peninsula Hotels, which has been a client almost since the beginning. Rosewood Hotels, leading hotels of the world. So lots of hospitality.
Amazing. Hopefully that means you get to do some traveling.
Yeah. Well, you know, babies, so we're not traveling so much anymore.
But back in the day, hopefully that meant that for you. So we're going to move on to some rapid fire Q&A. Three things that you're currently loving.
I just wrapped up Gabby Bernstein's manifesting challenge. It's a 21-day manifesting challenge. I think you can still sign up for it and do it.
Love it.
Have you done it before?
Yes, I've done it twice in 2 years in a row.
Hey, did you do it this year?
I didn't do it this year, but I did it the past 2 years.
It's been great. This is my first year doing it. And I just loved it. I thought it was fantastic. There was this one day when she was like, do this meditation to call in your spirit guides. And I love meditation. I love yoga, but I am not a spirit guide person. I was like, what is this woman talking about? But I ended up doing it and like crying. It was really powerful. So I love that. The perfume that I'm wearing right now is Nett's Tavani. It's our hero scent. It's this luscious, beautiful, sophisticated vanilla. So I'm loving that. I'm wearing that every day. And I, you know, we just moved to Tribeca. It's the first time I've lived in Tribeca. So I've really been into wandering around and really exploring the neighborhood.
Oh, nice. Favorite words to live by?
I was just talking to someone about this last night. Stay in your own skin is something that has always popped up in my consciousness, especially this year for some reason. And it really just means to make sure that you are in your own body, staying in your own skin, not letting too many outside factors influence you or affect your mood, and really just being confident in who you are.
A productivity hack.
I really like to get through the little things rapid fire and then time block for the larger projects. So I love to, my favorite thing to do in the morning is to clear my inbox and just like spend like 30 minutes rapid fire texting and just getting that thing down. And then I can have a clear head for the rest of the day.
Do you do anything special with your inbox? Like have folders or what's your system?
No, I'm so old school. I literally just delete. I answer, delete, answer, delete, answer, delete. It's terrible. My team is always like, this is terrifying.
Are you someone who just deletes emails and doesn't respond to everything? Or do you try to respond to everything?
I respond to everything.
That's impressive. A favorite book or podcast for growth?
Right now, I'm loving The Creative Act by Rick Rubin. I have it on my desk right now, and I can't explain exactly what it is. Have you read this?
I just saw that at Barnes & Noble, which I hadn't been to Barnes & Noble in forever, but I was like, this is a beautiful book. Tell me, how are you enjoying it?
I love it. It is a beautiful book. It's a great book to have on your coffee table, but I cannot tell you with any succinctness what it is. The best way I can describe it is that it is really full of just like life and work wisdom on a lot of different topics.
Love it. All right. I should get it then.
Yeah.
Favorite business moment so far?
There are so many. I think one of my favorite things about Nett is that I love the community aspect of it. It's a community full of fragrance lovers and total perfume obsessives, and the editors that cover the fragrance world are so passionate. So one of my favorite things is that instead of doing like a big splashy party or dinner, I just had a very cozy group of the editors and influencers that have supported Nett from the beginning over to my apartment for a dinner. And I had never met some of them in person, but it was really nice. We lit the fire and we all just hung out and had a really great dinner in my home. And I felt like that was really special.
Oh my God, that sounds so special. I love that. What fragrance or candle were you burning for that event?
Safari.
Is that your favorite?
It was our newest at the time, and I wanted everyone to smell it. So that was the one we picked. And it's one of my favorites. It's a really special sort of like crunchy green you know, sort of like a crunchy green leathery wood.
And lastly, what is your number one non-negotiable to thrive on your wellness journey?
An early bedtime. I need to get to bed early and I need to get up early. I feel like I really need like a couple of hours in the morning before everyone else is awake to get my ducks in a row and like be sane for the rest of the day.
Any tips for getting your sleep in?
The screen time thing is so key, but so hard to do.
Like, so hard.
I don't have time to be on my phone all day. So it's like really like that moment before I fall asleep, I tend to scroll Instagram and TikTok. It's awful. But the times that I don't do that are like my best nights of sleep. So that is my tip, even if I can't follow it 100% of the time.
I just try to start at least plugging my phone in to another room so that I couldn't do that. But
that's smart.
It lasted like 2 days. So I'm not going to say that's a good tip.
Yeah, that's a hard thing to do. I feel very attached to my phone. I want it next to me.
And you're right. It's like when you're so busy all day, then you're justifying that at night. Here's your opportunity to like catch up on social media and what happened. So
exactly.
There is a justification. So in closing, where can everybody find you and what is next for you, Annette?
So you can find us at Sephora. We're in over 200 doors at Sephora, so all over the US, also on netnyc.com. And as far as what's next in the very immediate future, we are launching a brand new perfume, our first in a year, in March. And that's the perfume that I was telling you about earlier that was really inspired by that one random scene in Ghost. And it is the most happy, bright, poppy, beautiful fragrance. And I've been wearing it all year. And I just cannot wait for people to get their hands on it. It's scientifically proven to boost feelings of happiness and positivity, which I really felt like I needed. And, you know, really the world could use right now. So I'm very excited about it.
That's amazing. Tell us a little bit about how that is scientifically proven, because that's really cool.
So we work with our fragrance house to use a combination of AI and neuroscience to be able to really provide that scientific backing as to how these fragrances make you feel. So it can get so granular, but to put it very broadly, there are two different levels of or types of testing. There is the type of testing where you have someone smell a fragrance and you ask them to tell you how it makes them feel. And then you ask them to smell a fragrance and you actually study their brainwaves to determine what's really going on. So our fragrance has a team of over 65 in-house people.
Wow.
Data scientists, neuroscientists, like the smartest people in the world, around the clock working on this technology, which is just insane to me. It's such a large team full of such impressive people, fully focused on like the scientific aspect of how fragrance can affect emotion. And it's just incredible. And I'm shocked that there are so few brands really utilizing this technology right now. I'm sure that will change in the future, but I'm excited to be, you know, one of the first.
That is so cool. That's amazing. I love that. Well, yeah. What a great note to end on. Thank you so much, Carol, for being here. It was so nice to meet you. And everyone, go try her candles and scents. They're incredible.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.
Thanks so much for joining me on Live Purely with Elizabeth. I hope you feel inspired to thrive on your wellness journey. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to rate, subscribe, and review. You can follow us on Instagram at purely_Elizabeth to catch up on all the latest. See you next Wednesday on the podcast.
Thank you.